All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I really mean that this morning. All right. As a matter of fact, I checked it and double-checked it to make sure I was going to say it right. John 6. All right, let's begin reading over in verse 51. I'm sorry, verse 48. I'm sorry. Changed my mind. All right, verse 48. And of course, you know this is the Lord Jesus speaking here. And he says, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna. All right, now he's calling himself here the bread of life. And he's going to illustrate how he is the bread of life. Now listen carefully, verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. All right, so when he says he is the bread of life, he's not literally saying I am bread, right? He's not saying that I'm a loaf of bread. Everybody got that? All right, but let me show you. Look here, this is how things get confused, okay? This is how things get confused. And in verse 50, we'll get to the last half of the verse, that a man may say or may eat thereof and not die. I am the what? All right, that is the operative word right there. I am the living bread. He's not saying that I am the literal bread. No, it's an analogy. And he is saying that spiritually speaking, I am like bread. Your fathers needed bread in the wilderness, and bread came down from heaven. And now all of us need the bread of life. And so God the Father sent down his Son as the bread of life. It's not talking about cannibalism here. All right? Everybody see that? All right, it's important that you do. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, now listen carefully, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You missed that. You missed that much. Seriously. But they did. They did. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. All right, now look up here at me. What is that? What is verse 53? Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. So what is eating another person, eating their flesh and drinking their blood? What is that? That's cannibalism. Now, folks, Christianity is not cannibalism. Everybody see that? All right, read on. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh. Now here's the interpretation. Here's what he's saying. Here's what he means. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Read on. Those things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now, those of you who have gone to the Holy Land with us, every trip we stop at Capernaum. So, and we go inside the ruins of that temple or of that synagogue and have a little lesson given. And so picture that in your mind. This is where the Lord Jesus was when this happened. All right. So verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Verse 64, watch this carefully now. Look at verse 64. He says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore saith I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66. All right, what chapter are we in? All right, that help you? All right, watch. This is really going to help you. The Lord Jesus has a church split here. And notice it's in chapter 6, verse 66. Isn't that strange? You say, well, what a coincidence. But isn't that an amazing coincidence? Let's read it. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? If we leave you, where are we going to go? I mean, thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. That's strong talk, isn't it? Y'all think I'm mean. I mean, that's pretty rough. He's standing there looking right at him. I called you guys, I called all 12 of you guys, and yet one of you is a devil. Ouch. That's pretty harsh. 71. Verse 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. All right, look at that little phrase in verse 67. He said, will ye also go away? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. What a tremendous passage of scripture this is. And I pray that you will bless as we share some thoughts this morning about what transpired here. And Father, give us understanding of thy word. Speak to our hearts. Draw us to yourself. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will use the message to make a difference in our lives. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. The Lord Jesus has been teaching a crowd of people at the synagogue this wonderful truth, this wonderful lesson that he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He told the crowd that just as the children of Israel in the Old Testament ate the manna, that he was the bread of life, and we should partake of him. We should take him into our hearts. He's not saying cannibalism, not at all. He's not teaching these folks to be cannibals, not at all. This spiritually depleted bunch of followers, though, had no clue what the Lord Jesus was saying. They looked at one another, and they said, this is, look at verse 60, this is an hard saying, and who can hear it? This is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And the Bible tells us that many of his disciples walked away from him and followed him no more after what he said here. Now think about that. They walked away. They just left him and did not follow him any longer. Now, I read this week and I thought, wow, that is so much so the way it is in our world today. Make no mistake about it, folks, the devil knows his work. The devil knows his work. And one of the devil's biggest tools is how he has gotten our world today just absolutely rights crazy. Rights crazy. Every society that has ever gone down this rights crazy road has ended up a total disaster. The Lord Jesus did not teach us that we were to love ourselves. He taught us that we were to love others. But we are a society today that loves itself. We are told in by the Lord that we are to be kind. We are to love one another. We are to be kind to one another. The Apostle Paul mentions kindness many times through his epistles. And yet, we are people today, a society today, who is just concerned about me and mine. It's not I want my rights. We're way past that. Where we are today is I don't want my rights. I have rights. Therefore, you're supposed to honor that. All right? I have rights. Well, we all do. We all do. But the truth of the matter is, everybody today is just basically out for themselves all over the planet. We're seeing the same thing all over the planet. And what we need to consider here today is the direction that the Lord Jesus was going. He was taking them down the road to show them that he is what they need to sustain life. All right, you've got to have bread. But wait a minute, did not the Lord Jesus say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? So the Lord Jesus was showing them, and it was just a picture. That's all he was doing, was showing them a picture of him being bread, giving nourishment, spiritual nourishment to their souls. Amen. That's all he was doing. Now, I want you to think, let me share a little illustration with you. In 1977, I graduated from Bible college. I crammed 4 years into five. All right. Did y'all get that? Oh, it was rough, man, I tell you. A lot of work. Yeah, I crammed 4 years into five. But I finally got out. I finally made it. And when I graduated, I had been working in a church about 2 hours from the college. I had been working in a church on the weekends, and the pastor of the church offered me a position. He called me the youth pastor. Well, that was a misnomer. All right, I could not. He wouldn't let me get near the youth group other than to sing in the youth choir. And then I sang bass in the church quartet. And I think that's the only reason that he hired me. And that preacher wouldn't let me do anything. I mean, seriously, he would not let me do anything. I wanted to teach the young people's Sunday school class, but he wouldn't let me do that. He said, "Oh, we've got a teacher. And matter of fact, it was his wife." So that didn't work. And I said, "Well, what do you want me to do? I mean, I'm not going to just sit around all the time." He said. "Well, I'm going to keep you busy." And he did. He kept me busy repairing fences. All right, repairing fences. The church had a camp, a beautiful camp. And they had their own beef. They had their own chickens. And so I became farmhand number one. All right, I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in Bible and a closet full of suits that I only wore to go to church in. Rest of the time, I wore blue jeans and a golf shirt and worked like a dog with my hands. I dug ditches. I cut firewood and split it and stacked it for the camp, sometimes for the preacher. I cleaned storm damage up. Did I mention that I repaired fences, barbed wire fences? I mentioned that, right? Oh, that was fun. That was a hoot. And anyway, after about 6 months, I just about had all of youth pastoring that I could stand. So Karen and I went back home to West Virginia, and we looked around and got some counsel from an old preacher who's in heaven now. His name was J.B. Williams, wonderful man. And he worked with a mission board, and his part in that mission board was to basically help young preachers plant churches throughout the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast. And so he picked out a couple of towns and said, pray about these and see what you think, and I'll help you. So we decided that we went and looked at each of the little towns that were chosen. And Glenville was the largest of the little towns in West Virginia. I say largest, there may have been 3,000 people in the whole county. But there are certainly more cows, certainly more deer, and certainly more skunks in Gilmer County than people. And so we ended up going to Glenville to plant this little church. And I'm telling you, the Lord blessed that in a remarkable way. In no time, we were organized and had a place to meet. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, we had our first service. We had 35 people that came out for the first service. Oh, it was great. It was great. And I started preaching. They said, are you going to have church on Sunday night? And I said, well, yeah. And so they said, good. So they all started coming back on Sunday night. And then they said, are we going to have prayer meeting? I said, sure, of course we are. So they all came on Wednesday night. Everything was great. And you know, when I got out of college, I just thought that everyone was going to love me. You know, you stay out of this. I just thought everybody was going to love me. I thought, you know, I've learned a thing or two. I'm going to teach the Bible and preach the Bible, and man, folks are going to like that. Oh, how naive. And after about a month or so, this fella came up and he said, a couple of us have been talking. And I said, really? What have you been talking about? Well, we're kind of thinking that you preach too long. And I said, I agree. I agree with him. You do? I said, yes, I do. I preach way too long. I know it. Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'll go tell the other guys that you're not going to preach as long. I said, well, I wouldn't lie to them if I were you. I wouldn't lie to the people. And he said, well, you're going to preach shorter sermons, aren't you? I said, no. No, I'm not. And I didn't preach any longer then than I preach now. And I said, no. Well, he didn't like that. And so from that point on, now, mind you, we're only about a month into this thing. And from that point on, if I said that wall right there is white and it has some boards that go across it that are brown. If I said that, he would say, well, I don't agree. I think that wall's black. And those stripes that go across there, well, they're green. I mean, no matter what I said, he went the other direction. We started the church in April, and by October, we had about 30 people to baptize. And we didn't have a baptistry in a little church where we rented. And they said, well, if we baptize, we have to go down to the river. Well, we had had a cold snap in October. It was cold. And I said, we're going to do what? We baptize in the river. Now, nobody ever taught me in Bible college how to baptize in a river. And so I said, okay. So I said to one of the men, you reckon it'd be all right if I wear fishing waders? He said, no, the people can't wear fishing waders. I don't think you ought to wear those. Ooh. All right. And I got that group together, and I said, y'all sure you want to be baptized now? I mean, there was ice along the river. There was ice along the river, and it was up because of the weather. It was the river was high. And I said, you know, that river's going to be out there in May. You know, it'll still be there in May. And so, you know, we can wait till May. No, we want to get baptized now. Oh, everybody was so excited. So we went down to baptize. And I asked this fella that to help me baptize. Matter of fact, he volunteered. And I said, well, yeah, you can help me. And he said, what I'll do, preacher, is I'll stand in the water and I'll help folks get down out to you where you can baptize them. I said, okay. So what I did was I went down and I took a step and I took a breath. And I took another step and I took a breath. Oh, it was cold. And the wind was blowing, of course. So I got down in the water about up to here, and I was numb. 35 people we baptized. I was numb. Well, when it was all over, I came out of the water, and this same fella that told me I preached too long came up to me and said, I always help with baptism. And I said, oh, well, I didn't know that. Well, I always help with baptism. Well, that just kind of dug the knife in a little bit deeper, you know. And he never got over that. And the church needed carpeting. So we said, we're going to put carpet in the church. I taught people how to tithe, and they started giving. And, you know, we had more than enough money to, we could have carpeted the inside and the outside if we wanted to. And so we had this little business meeting where I said, we want to buy carpet. And the carpet is, you know, I had a couple of samples of what colors to use. And so, you know, we voted on it. And we didn't vote on his color. Oh, man. And he got mad again. And then the next thing I know, he says, I'm leaving. And I said, well, why are you leaving? He said, I don't know. I just don't know. He said, but I just can't sit here and take this. I said, take what? Take what? Well, you going against everything I think ought to happen. I said, sir, I'm the pastor of the church, not you. Now, you know what that was? That was a hard saying. That was a hard saying. Where is it? Verse 60. How did my Bible get, my page get turned? Yeah, but verse 60. That was a hard saying. And so he left and took his family, and then he talked to another one who was a friend of his, and they left, took their family, and then they talked to another one. They left, took their family, and we had a chapter 6, verse 66 experience over what color the carpet was going to be. And I thought, wow, how'd that happen? I mean, how in the world did that happen? Folks, listen, life is filled with hard sayings. Now, it really is. And the Lord Jesus, let me remind you, it was the Lord Jesus who was accused here of hard sayings. Now, what was that hard saying? That hard saying was, he's the bread of life, and if you will eat of the bread, in other words, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he says that a couple of times throughout the whole thing. He's not talking about the people cutting off an arm muscle, cooking it over the grill, and eating it. He's not talking about that. Anybody with any common sense should know that, wouldn't you think? But no. No, they didn't get it. And so they start murmuring. That's the word that was used. Murmuring. And boy, when the murmuring starts, you're in trouble. The church is in trouble when the murmuring begins. And so, what happened? Well, they had a chapter 6, verse 66 event. And if that's happened once since the day of Pentecost, it has happened a gazillion times. You go down south and there's First Baptist on this corner. Then on this corner, there's Second Baptist. And then on this corner, there's Third Baptist. And then on this corner, there is, we hate those other three Baptists. All right? Now, I'm serious, folks. This is what, and then everybody wonders why the church cannot reach anyone with the gospel. Now, I know that there's a lot of hard sayings around here. I know that. I'm well aware of that. And I also know that I don't let up. I don't let up. Every Sunday, it just keeps right on coming, like a broken record. I just continue to preach for Christians to do right and live right and talk right and act right and be right. I remind everybody about soul winning and about tithing and about being in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. As Dr. Robertson used to say, three to thrive. Three to thrive. And I don't let up on that stuff. One lady told me one time here, several years ago now, but she told me, when I was going around shaking hands and I shook her hand and she held on to it, looked me dead in the eye and said, "You're going to beat us up today again?" I said, "What?" And she didn't repeat it. I think because her husband kicked her in the shins, I think. But it was obvious she didn't care for me. All those hard sayings, you know. All those hard sayings. But now, folks, let's just think about something here for just a minute. All right, I'm running out of time. Let's just think about something here. Suppose we all came to church next Sunday, and I stood up and I said, "Folks, we're going to change some things around here. As of today, we're going to change some things." And then I asked for some big, strong men to come up here and remove this pulpit. Just we're gonna get rid of the pulpit. You know, this pulpit, you know what this is? This is a symbol of authority. And boy, people don't like that. They don't like that. But that's what this thing is. And suppose I said, "We're going to get rid of this pulpit. And from henceforth, now and forevermore, we're going to start using the one of these new versions, perversions of the Bible. All right, so we're going to, so you can bring whatever Bible you want to church. And you can dress however you want to dress, all right? I mean, it's up to you. If you want to wear shorts, then ladies, grease them up and slide them on. Just making sure you're awake. I guess you are. You can sing in the choir, wearing whatever you want to wear, and the music is going to be changed as well. There was a fella who said to me back years ago when I first came here, and he said, "Why don't we bring the music into the 21st century?" And I said, "We are." "Oh, good," he said. I said, "No problem." Again, a hard saying. Folks, I can't help it. It just rolls out. And but we never have changed the music, by the way. And he's no longer here, by the way. But I said, suppose I got up and I said, "Things are going to change. We're going to become a user-friendly church. All right? We are going to just have you come to church and just, you know, feel like you're at your favorite nightclub. All right? We're going to invite the Wiggle Sisters up on the platform. We're going to get the Ooh Baby singers up here. Let them entertain. You know, we're just going to change everything. And I'm no longer going to preach these 45-minute sermons. I'm not going to do that. Okay, an hour sermons. I'm not going to do that. We're going to have a little 10-minute ditty. And then we're going to sing. And then we're going to have a little 10-minute tack on, and then we're going home." And if I said that, And that is indeed what we started doing, we'd be done. It'd be over. I mean, if we did that, I guarantee you, it wouldn't be long before there was no Church of the Open Door. So here's the deal. All right, they said, man, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Well, I just believe with all my heart that salvation is by grace through faith, amen. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Amen. And I don't intend to change on that. I just believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, I've taught you why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And when I did back in 2010, that thinned the herd. All right, you know what I mean? That thinned the herd. I never in my wildest dreams thought that taking a stand for the Bible would run folks off. But it did. I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, let me have you turn over for just a moment, and I'll read this, and we'll be done. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John's right before Second John. See what Bible college does for you, folks? All right, let's see where we want to start. All right, let's begin, please, in verse 19. All right, here it is. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Folks, I can't help what people refuse to believe. I can't help it. Now, I know that 29 years ago, new preacher, young preacher, now he's old, but he was young at one time, and it was the thing to do to be at the Church of the Open Door. It was a thing to do. But you know, better than half of our church has died in the last 29 years and gone to heaven. And then they went out from us because they were not of us. Bottom line, they just didn't agree. So they went. Now, I want to serve notice on you that those hard sayings evidently were too hard for some folks to deal with. All right? And so they went out from us. Why? They were not of us. Evidently, you folks believe that salvation is by grace through faith because you've stuck with it for 29 years, and then 17 years before that with Dr. Smith. Because I'll guarantee told you, Dr. Smith preached the same as what I'm preaching. I know. So here's the point. Let's not get weary in well-doing. All right? Let's not get weary in well-doing. I think sometimes, you know, here's what I do. I sit around and I say, wow, what am I doing wrong? What did I do wrong? There's some hard sayings, aren't there? There's some hard sayings, but we can't compromise. And I'm not planning to. So just go back to the text verse for a moment. Let me read one thing to you and I'll be done. All right. John 6. And in 66, they had to split. And then in 67, Jesus saith unto the 12, will ye also go away? All right, let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. What a tremendous little principle this is. And Father, help us not to allow ourselves to be weary in well-doing. It's never easy to do the right thing. It's never easy to have a strong faith. It's never easy. There's a devil that fights tooth and nail at every exchange. But Father, help us to be strong in what we know from the Word of God, for in what we believe. And Father, I pray that we'll be strengthened in the faith. So bless your word, touch our hearts with it, and just keep us close to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.